Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. It's T-Dub, Cookie, and Janus with you, as we always are, coming through the airwaves or internet fibers. We've got a big show today, jam-packed from a massive round of footy and global sport, to be honest. We'll go and do the Baz vs. Bont feud, or mainly Baz vs. Dogs feud. The Saints, is Ross a master coach, or is he just lucky that Freo can't play 2 weeks in a row? And we'll go into what is probably the best home and away game of the last like 3 or 4 years, Collingwood Geelong, and a little bit on the Hawks' 100th year celebration, which Cookie is repping their beautiful jersey. Cookie, how are you, great man?
Phenomenal. Great to be here Monday night after a big week of sport. There's nothing better.
That's true.
Discussing and dissecting with the boys. Janus, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was a ripper. We were at the Geelong Collingwood game, so unbelievable weekend. And we saw Hawthorn absolutely pants Richmond, which, you know, wasn't as good, but at least Geelong got the win.
Brutal honesty. Just like you were.
At least it was bearable knowing that your team won Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to go to the MCG if Crisp had kicked that goal the day after. Probably would have been a place of trauma. So, yeah, at least I could go and watch Richmond get absolutely, well, I won't say.
Janus, when Chris marked that ball, what was going through your mind? Because I've been there multiple times as a Hawthorn fan, and it's not fun.
I felt really confused. I felt, like, really strange. I've never seen a goal after the siren. So I didn't really know what I was feeling. And to be honest, given Crisp's track record, I did think he would have kicked it. Luckily, the gods were saying no. He McGoverned it.
He choked.
Luckily. But yeah, it was a very new feeling to me. And I'm glad that I didn't get to feel that heartbreak. I feel like it would have been a bit much.
Yes, you poor fan. You didn't have to go through the treacherous heartbreak.
Were you there for the McGovern miss then?
No, I was away. And I remember I was sick too. I was so sick. So I went to bed at halftime and I think Carlton were like 2 goals at 8 or something. Or like 2 goals 10. We're down by heaps. And I was watching the highlights and I knew nothing. And I was watching the highlights and we were down by 5 goals at 3 quarter time. I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. And then all of a sudden we kicked a couple of goals. I'm like, well, hang on a minute. And then I like accidentally tapped my phone and saw there was like 2 minutes left and we kicked another goal. And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. We might actually do this. And then we got another one and then McGovern marked it. And then the siren went and I'm like, okay. There's just no way he's kicking this. He's too close. I know that sounds really funny, but he would have been better if he was 55 out instead of 40. I know that sounds weird, but we lost our top 4 spot that day.
Oh, that's right.
And cost ourselves
a great game of footy for a neutral. I'll tell you that much.
It certainly
how
was.
How good was Danger? Jeez.
Oh, yes.
It's actually amazing. Every time he goes over to pick up the ball, I'm waiting for a hamstring or both to just pop. And they haven't yet. The Cats will definitely give him a rest at some point because it's all about loading him up for a big final series.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder if how he's going is sustainable in the next coming 8 sort of weeks. I mean, you found that last year when Danger went out, he did 2 sort of hamstrings in about 6 odd weeks or so. And it was no coincidence that when he was out, we couldn't score on a brothel. We lost 4 in a row. And
that's right. That's true.
Yeah, we were really not that good. Lot by like less than a kick. Like we lost to Port by 6. We lost to the Giants by the Suns punished us in Darwin, but we still kicked 15 goals. And even Richmond, we beat them, but they were very competitive against us.
Yes.
So, yeah. It'll be logging him up, yeah, for a final series.
That game was definitely the most midfield he's played, I reckon. He was very dominant, especially in the last quarter. Just a great, great final quarter. It'll go down in history as one of the great quarters. Speaking of history, every week Cookie brings us a game on this day. So, Cookie, what is the game from the 5th of May?
The 5th of May. Now, we were not alive for this game, but it's interesting. It's the Western Bulldogs versus St Kilda, round 9, 2000. The Dogs beat the Saints by a point, where St Kilda were up very late. And this is... I'm not sure if you've heard of someone, Tim. Have you heard of a bloke called Max Hudgton?
No.
There's this photo of him, like, he's completely, like, bawling his eyes out after the game, which I think is an iconic photo in St Kilda history around that time. Now, my question for you guys is, who was coaching the Saints in 2000?
I've got three guesses.
No. I have no
Okay, you have no idea. I'll give you a clue, Janus. Well, okay, Tim, actually tell me your guesses. Who was coaching the Saints in 2000?
It's either, I think it's before Grant Thomas. It's not him.
It's not Grant Thomas.
I think it's after.
I did not know this.
It's after Wispy. So I think it's Malcolm Blight.
It is none of those people.
It's not Tim Watson or Malcolm Blight. Bang.
It is Tim. Oh, did you say Tim Watson? It is Tim Watson.
Tim Watson. Wispy. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
So it wasn't before Wispy.
And at that time, he was winless that year.
Yeah, he had a bad record.
They were up late. They were up late. Did
he coach anywhere else?
Round 9.
I don't think so. Because he wasn't it.
So that's for the that derailed his coaching career.
Love the Wisp.
They were up at 31 points at three-quarter time and capitulated in the last quarter to lose by a point Friday night at Colonial Stadium.
Oh, yes. He went 12-31-1.
12-31-1.
That's
okay.
There you go.
Not amazing. Not terrible. The Wisp. Beautiful.
Not a bad flashback for
you. Well done, Cookie.
That was a good game. It's a good pick.
Now, speaking of history, I'll keep it short. The Hawks had their 100-year celebration. Smart decision to play Richmond. Well done, whoever decided that.
Mitchell, probably.
We won't talk about the game, but it was... yeah, probably. I think definitely a lot of Hawks fans just enjoyed seeing, like, Clarko back at the club. A couple of the old boys... Cyril obviously didn't make the trip. Buddy, I don't think, was there. But some great history, we'll say. Particularly the huddle before the game was pretty cool. Even though we came out at quarter opening bounce and looked like rubbish. But anyway, we picked it up.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could bring home the win.
That was one of the worst first quarters I've ever seen.
That's what I said to Janus. I said, that's actually the worst quarter this year. Like, genuinely.
Well, all I can say is that was one of the worst games I've seen, just generally. Richmond were absolutely diabolical.
Speaking of diabolical.
It was almost embarrassing.
Janus, take us through the Dockers on Friday night.
Oh,
are they completely gone? Are they making top 8? That's what I want to know. Are they making top 8?
The Ross Bowl... well, all I can say is to whoever is scheduling the AFL, do not put Fremantle at prime time when they're playing in Melbourne. Like, please. And all I can say is in a game that St Kilda absolutely dominated, it was arguably one of the most boring watches I've ever seen. So I'm not really sure what that says about a team when them being absolutely dominant is a borderline snooze fest. But Fremantle just got completely battered by Marshall. Sarong was silenced. St Kilda won the contested game, won the clearance game, denied Fremantle any ability to, well, one, have the ball. They did not have the ball. Let's see, they were smashed in clearance. They were smashed 50 to 22 in disposals. Oh, sorry, clearance. They were smashed 50 to 22. Disposals 379 to 286.
There was 72 stoppages. 13 to 5 in
standard clearance. And they were smashed 233 to 175 in uncontested possession. They just did not have the ball. And to be honest, I look at that game and the Saints just suffocated Fremantle. But it does lead me to this next point. Is Ross Lyon one of the most petty coaches in the league? He always plays well against teams he doesn't like.
A vendetta against the Cats. Geelong.
He hates Geelong and he hates Fremantle.
Have they played Collingwood yet?
A sloggy, boring game you've ever seen. They
play well against Collingwood as well.
They beat him last year.
Yeah.
Jack Higgins kicked a goal from the third row.
Goal's a goal.
Yep. But, would you say, is he the most petty coach?
Yep. To me, that was a petty game.
I just think it was played on St Kilda's terms. And Jack McRae and Zach Jones were very good. And Steele. They're just out. I mean, Freo don't have a forward line. They have the same problem as Sydney. They just don't have a forward line. It's just that Sydney have a really good midfield. I know Fremantle do as well, but Sydney's are just better. And Sydney's back six are faster and more skillful. And then you take that up a notch, you've got the Hawks, who have an elite back six, a good midfield, but still have, like, questions over their forward line targets.
Well, they don't have a forward line, barely.
Well, they do.
That Gunston coming second into Coleman or something.
They do have a forward line. Coleman. They've got two
Big
of
Jack.
Them. Yes.
The
see,
Charles so, Royce, I
see,
apologize.
See, he signed
how
the meat pie with the sauce?
Yeah, no, the sausage roll.
Yeah, the sausage roll.
That was so good.
And they just, like, a welt when he dropped 100.
Yes. But,
That's so good.
The three of them play a very similar style. It's just that Freo aren't skilled. Well, maybe not similar style. Their makeup is very similar. Good defense. Mm. It's just that Sydney get a bit quicker and more skilled, and then Hawthorn are one more on top of that.
Mm.
But, yeah, Freo are... They can't play finals, can they?
If they're playing like that in Melbourne... Fuck
no. Probably not.
Oh, bang. Yes.
Sorry.
Bang. We love that. I'll tell you what else we love. North Melbourne being competitive.
But still not winning.
Bang.
We do love it. It was, I swear Essendon tried to lose that numerous times.
Oh, in the last quarter, it was Zach Merritt versus 18 blokes. He had 11 disposals at 100% efficiency, and he was basically fighting North Melbourne off by himself.
I swear to their
own. He took some big marks late as well.
Then the reason that game was more compelling than the one on Friday was because it was close.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I was going to say Cookie.
Yeah.
Because you would have watched it with your partner, she's Essendon.
Yep.
How did you both find that watch?
Uh,
Because we get the essence of perspective from you now.
Bit of both worlds. I think she was pleased that they were winning, but not really the way they were playing. It was pretty poor. And they started well.
They started very well.
As soon as you're like close in one of these like North West Coast Richmond games, you just have this really bad feeling in your stomach. Looking straight at the man at the bottom of my screen and Tim. But yeah, no, I think she was just happy to get the chocolates in the end. I think she was, yeah. I mean, you just got to say thanks for the 4 points and just forget about that night.
They beat North and West Coast by a kick.
Yeah, Essendon are real sketchy. I said to her, you are so lucky you've won those two games. If you've lost those two games, Brad Scott's head is right outside Windy Hill on a stake. Like, literally.
I mean, that's the difference. Yeah. I know Carlton lost to Richmond, which we can't ignore that. But they beat West Coast and North by 80 and 70 points. So,
that's true.
Like,
a big game against Sydney this week, the Dons. A big, big, big game.
Is that in Melbourne or Sydney? It's
in Melbourne.
Ooh.
That is a big game.
What day is that?
I think it's Saturday night at Marvel or Friday night.
Slaughterhouse.
Speaking of the Swans, Joel Hamling.
Yes.
What a goal. Yes.
Tried to give him an ear massage on the way down and he missed.
Yeah.
What did he play? 90 odd games, hadn't kicked a goal.
Good goal too, though.
Like a decade or something in the league.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
You sort of forget that he was a premiership player.
True.
Well, that's kind of random. Shalom
Baker's about Joel Hamling.
Wash your mouth out. Really,
that's insulting, Shalom Baker's. But Joel Hamling and who was it they tagged? Taylor and Buckley.
Yep.
Mm. They did a really good job.
Yeah, it worked.
Apparently, I heard. It was Chad Warner on the radio this morning saying he'd never seen two forwards more disciplined than those two, just glued. For those two.
Mm, nice.
That's the way you beat the Giants, though, I reckon. Just negate.
Take out their defense.
The intercept marking. Yeah. So good at it.
Just on the Hamling, he was part of probably the most unsung back six. Like,
oh, here we go.
Like, of the seven players, how many could you name?
Oh, Biggs.
Yep.
So
he was like, he's Jesus. Named on the bench. I've got the team up here.
Did Liam Jones play in that team?
No. This is nearly 10 years ago.
Jay Johannesburg would have played.
Johannesson, yep. He was the North medalist. Obviously Hamling.
He's Jayberg. From Johannesburg, but...
No, he's dizzy.
I think he's South African.
Bang. Really getting into uncharted waters here.
Give us some more.
Easton Wood.
Oh, no. Yeah, Easton. Who's that bloke? Long hair. Trippin? No, Joel Hamling had long hair.
Yeah, sort of. It's three more.
Dalhouse?
No, he played, but he was on the ball.
Corey Dixon's a name I always think about in those games.
Oh, yes. One of them's a back pocket. He... shared a name with another player in the team. They had the same name. Could have won the Norm.
I'm forgetting. No.
Kicked probably the most famous goal in grand final history.
Oh, Pickin?
No. Come on. From the square.
Boyd.
Oh, yep. Boyd.
He's not a backman, though. He's not a backman.
Matthew Boyd. They share the same name.
Oh, Matty Boyd.
Matty Boyd.
Dang, he is very unsung.
Dale Morris.
Oh, there we go.
And a guy called Fletcher Roberts.
Oh.
What?
So there you go.
Fletcher
that is a
Roberts,
good players, all of them. Definition of an unsung back six there. Sorry, I just thought I'd sidetrack. I got a bit sidetracked there. Anytime I hear, like, Joel Hamling's name or one of those Bulldogs players' names, I instantly just like bring up how unsung their team was. Roberts played 51 games and won a premiership.
Well,
there you go.
Brian would never have got that if you sat me down for 20 hours.
Brian Lake played 52 and won 3.
He was there on a Sunday.
He was there.
Big man, MAGA return.
On day release from Japan.
That's what I was educating Jonas about that at the game, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know why? I actually didn't know. Do you know why he went to prison? I think one of the times. He was doing AFL for like the Indonesian like AFL league or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he got angry at one of the coaches or something. And then, got charged with assault or something.
Snotted him.
Anyway, I didn't even know that. But anyway.
That doesn't surprise me because he choked Drew Petrie. That made American news. That was on CNN.
Did he?
Yeah, Sportsnet, CNN, and all the other sports shows all across the world. BBC, everything.
Bang.
But yeah,
a real international marker of the game. Well, I'm Brian Lake, I guess.
Yeah, lucky Norm Smith medalist. Didn't play on anyone.
Fair enough.
Gunson should have won it that year.
All right, what about the Lions and the Suns? It was a bit of a dour affair. It was physical. The Lions just bullied the Suns around the ball.
Yep. I can't say I watched much of it, but
it looks quite a midfield sort of game. It was basically 6 goals the whole game. Well, not
but
the
they controlled
game.
It. They controlled it.
Yeah,
they did. Dower game.
Josh Dunkley just absolutely shut out Matty Rowell and definitely deserves credit. He's not an unsung hero, I would say, Josh Dunkley.
He's a big role player. Massive role player.
Guess how many clearances Matt Rowell had without looking.
Like 2.
I'm going to say none.
1.
Oh.
1 clearance.
Yeah, dude, 1.
It's a domination.
Yeah, exactly. If you can keep Matt Rowell to 1 clearance, you're going to win the game.
Mm.
But yeah, shout out very good. Josh Dunkley.
Dunkley. Yes.
He's another player that played in that grand final, right? Yeah, he would have played.
He's the only player to play.
I know the stat you're going to say.
Yeah.
The only player to win 2 premierships from outside the top 4.
Well, it's happened twice, and he was Sydney. In both teams.
Both were against Sydney, too.
Yeah.
That's where I thought, you were going with that.
His dad played for Sydney, I think.
That's why it's ironic.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? I did not know
that. Yeah, Andrew Dunkley played for Sydney. Pretty sure that's his name. But that's very ironic. That's gorgeous. Don't really need any other... Oh, that's the media story of the week. Baz versus Bot.
Oh, yes.
82,000 versus 4.5. Janus, what are your thoughts? You're a proud
Cats fan. Fly the flag, Janus. Fly the flag.
What are your thoughts? You've been on the record showing your support for Bailey Smith on 7 News Adelaide. If you haven't seen the TikTok, go check it out. Janus was on the news backing Bailey Smith's little gesture to a couple of the crowd in Adelaide. But what are your thoughts on this?
I love it. I love it. Bit of theatre. It's good. And it makes...
Even though he's bagging your home city?
Well,
you traitor.
No, I'm backing my boy. I'm backing my boy.
You take that back.
I've never been to Mars Stadium, but all I can say is 4,000 versus 82,000.
What a grand final on that ground, and he's bagging it. look at me, Bailey.
Oh.
All right, you've never been.
Look at this. No, yeah, I love it. It's good. It's good.
I saw his Instagram post, his story post, where he posted the fishing rods.
The 3 fishing emojis.
So funny. I saw that on the news. I was like, oh, my word. Oh, Bailey.
But he's loving it. He's absolutely loving it. And all of a sudden, Geelong's got a bit more flamboyant bias in the media.
People kind of care about him.
Gape.
I love hearing Danger speak about it. He's always just laughing. It's so funny.
Oh, he's loving it. Yeah, he's loving it. But it makes round 11. It makes that a big popcorn-inducing clash.
Where is it?
That's in Geelong. MHBO. Prime time, Thursday night.
Then it's not really Thursday that much night. Of a... It's not like it's at the G. As in like...
Well, it's not like it's in front of 82,000,
No, no, but it's in front of 40,000 Geelong supporters.
Yeah.
You want it to be played under the roof Friday night, Marvel Stadium, 50,000, 10,000 dogs, 10,000 cats
under
supporters.
The Thunderdome.
Yeah, literally.
Yes.
We've been deprived. Play the dogs again? Pardon?
The Cats play the Dogs again in this year? I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, they play them in like 3 weeks.
Do we play?
No, 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 no. I mean,
we haven't played them
again.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
no, stuff like that, that's good for the game. It's helping promote it. It's helping get, you know, eyes on it. Bailey Smith's a bit of a character. You know, it's a win-win for the AFL. But speaking of a bit of flamboyance, a bit of theatricality, what did the Wizard do on Sunday?
No, year of the Bird. I don't want to talk about the Wizard. I want to talk about Willie.
Year of the Bird. The year
I want to talk about
Bird.
Willie
Rioli. All right, compare the pair.
Enough of the Wizard.
Compare the pair.
Compare the pair, exactly.
Compare the pair. Boy. The Wizard's probably going to get Rioli. A grand or something.
And Willie Rioli has told Bailey Dale, do not step outside.
Yeah. Which,
surely he deserves more than
what the
a
hell
please
is
explain.
That?
Surely he deserves more than a please explain. That's...
Yeah, but if... Because it's in writing... I don't know. Because players would say that sort of stuff on the field all the time, surely.
But he wrote it down, yeah.
Oh, they definitely would. Yeah, right.
Like, he went public.
You're
with
telling
it.
Me it's never been caught? Like on audio?
All I'm saying when is surely flipping the Bird isn't worth like $2,000 and saying, don't walk out of your hotel in Darwin, my boys will come get you. Is worth nothing.
It's a fine.
It's not a... Yeah, I agree. I think it should be a fine.
It should be a fine. But...
But it's Willie.
It's no, but I think it's...
Salty no, Hawthorn supporter.
Maybe I am. Maybe
no, I am. But it's because it was usually, you know, stuff like that, what's said on the field stays on the field. But Willie Rioli's come out and he's probably... taken what's been said on the field and he's made it public. Bit of a difference.
Depends what... does anyone know what Dale did?
Apparently he like...
or something.
Yeah, because Rioli said like they were all... that like they showed the retaliation but not the like instigation. I mean, he probably hit him. I mean, that's one way to react.
They got beaten by 90 points. Just shut up and get on the plane home.
Or the bus back from Rat Town.
Yes. They almost could add a charter flight. Ballarat's that close to Adelaide.
True.
Damn right.
Jeez, they got absolutely pummeled, didn't they?
The Crows waxed the Blues.
Yep.
Not too much there. The Crows just far too good.
Carlton's defense was deplorable.
I'm not sure if you saw, there was one clip. I think it was when Dawson kicked his third goal.
Genius move, that.
Jacob Wiegering was just standing at the back like a Power Ranger. Like, he stood literally like this.
Oh, bang. We're getting visual.
He stood literally like that at the back of the contest. He did nothing. He just stood there. I'm sure you can find the clip.
It's a power stance from the 2017 Grand Final.
He literally looked like a Power Ranger.
What a dark time to be a football fan.
2017.
Yep. I tell you what, when Essendon get good, I might have to move overseas. I'm struggling enough with Collingwood as it is. You guys don't understand. You go for Geelong and Hawthorn. You don't know what it's like to go for a big club. Seeing the others succeed is just hard. And the big ones are Richmond, Collingwood, Carlton, and Essendon.
And not yourself is the key part.
No, but even, yeah. But still, it still stinks. Like, yeah, I was a little bit happy that Richmond won the first time because, yeah, give their supporters a bit of a, like, happy ending. But it was still annoying.
Definitely. We had the D's just do what they needed to do against the Eagles.
Can't say I watched any of it.
Good game, but Melbourne just too good.
I'm not sure if you saw, but Melchum got off. No weeks for him.
Eyes on the ball, yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, so am I. He didn't like, he didn't fully extend his arm. He didn't like full shove him into the... He just worked him under the ball, but he had his eyes on the... He was a legitimate chance of marking it. As I agree, I'm very comfortable with
that. There has to be a limit. There has to be a limit when they like to stop doing that. And I guess that's the limit. You got to have your eyes on the ball. Genuine marking contest. Not hands in the back. That's probably the... Well, that sets a big precedent now.
Yeah.
Like a massive precedent.
Yeah, eyes on the ball.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. I think that's definitely good.
Yeah.
I guess with the MROs had a win, and what happened?
They never had a win.
Got smacked in the head by Milliken, got 3 weeks, fair enough.
Yep. I mean, he swung right at him, coming against him.
Just got him in the mush.
Only three. I think that's lucky almost, but anyway.
So lucky.
Like, it could have been worse.
Yeah, well, if Bedford gets concussed or gets a broken nose or a broken jaw, it's six.
Yeah.
That's what annoys me a little bit with the tribunal. The fact that it's so outcome based.
Yeah.
Like it should be action. But it's not hard.
But I mean, you say it's not hard and then they always make it hard.
Yeah. Especially when the Carlton lawyers are involved.
Oh yes. The gangsters.
I think it's time we head overseas. Janice, you've got some football news for us.
I do, yes. So, last week, Liverpool became the champion, the Premier League winners.
Up the Reds.
And Trent Alexander-Arnold, who is being a Liverpool stalwart for 20 years... Came up through the academy ranks. He's been there for their Champions League win. He's won two Premier Leagues, won FA Cup with them. He has officially, as of probably 3 hours ago, he has officially said that he is leaving at the end of the year. He's waiting for his contract to expire, and he'll go off to Real Madrid. So... He will probably go down as a Liverpool legend, been there for 20 years, came up through the academy. I mean, he even kept his old academy number, number 66, which he won't be able to wear at Real Madrid because I think the number's actually too high. I think in the Spanish leagues, you can't go up that high. Bit random. But yeah, so he officially will depart Liverpool at the end of the season. And I just want to touch on West Ham Tottenham. Al Crapico was a 1-1 draw. Both teams are absolutely diabolically crap. That's all I can say.
And I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there any player that comes to mind that Tim and I, we don't know much about football, we'll put our hands up, that has come through the ranks like Trent Alexander-Arnold?
An absolute
freak that's been at the club for like ages. Like, is there
an academy player?
Is there one goat in that conversation?
It's probably Trent. West Ham bias aside, Declan Rice came up through the West Ham academy. Like, West Ham is a club that's got a big academy, but
every club have an academy.
Not every club, but West Ham have a real. They've got a real passion for the academy. But the West Ham academy, it's always a jumping off point for a bigger club. So players like Frank Lampard, who played for Chelsea, I'm not sure if you guys know who that is. Frank Lampard, he played 100-odd games for West Ham through the academy. Rio Ferdinand, who played for Manchester United, came from West Ham.
What a name.
Declan Rice played 300 games for West Ham, then he moved off to Arsenal. So, like, the academy of West Ham is always quite good, but it's where players go to go to bigger clubs, if that makes sense.
Who do you play every week if you're in an academy team?
So you're playing, like, the Premier League 2 competition, the under-18s, and then it's like the twos, basically, in AFL.
Get paid?
It's sort of like, what was that?
You get paid in the academy.
Yeah, I think so. It's contract based. If you offer the contract, you get paid. If not,
bang.
But yeah, that's news in the Premier League.
A-League finals this week.
Now, yes.
A-League finals.
The Jeez. Reds got in.
Did they make it?
They
Let's
finished
go.
Sixth.
Huge.
They got in.
United. Yes.
I tell you, do you know the format?
Yes.
For the A-League finals?
I have no idea.
No.
It's top six.
Take us through it.
Top six, one and two get a bye first week. So three plays six, four plays five. Then one plays the lowest winner, two plays the highest winner. So hypothetical, one plays four, two plays three. They then play a two-leg semi.
Okay.
And then the top two teams play in the final, in a one-off grand final.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of get it.
It's a weird system. Weird. But let's go Auckland. See if we can break the teed-up curse. They finished top, so.
They finished top by a long way.
See if the T-Dub curse is a real thing. I'm sure it is. Nice. NBA, big win by the Knicks. That was a great series.
Oh, yes.
Cut.
Jalen Brunson, Mr. Clutch.
That's one way of putting him.
Ant-Man, Superman, Batman, Lakers and Five.
Lakers and Five.
Oh, so much for church, confession, economic recession, I'm going to heaven, Magic and Seven. So much for that. I wanted the Magic to win so bad, but we didn't. We just weren't good enough, unfortunately. Good win by the Warriors today.
Yeah.
And the Pacers, unfortunately, a massive game one win. We could have another Knicks-Pacers, which I pray to the NBA gods, please don't give me that again.
Celtics-Pacers.
Yeah, that was the conference finals last year as well.
But the Cavs are just cheap.
Yeah, the NBA is really heating up. I know. The Cavs got exposed today against a decent team.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
And Darius Garland's toenail painting cracked, so he's not playing. I was messaging one of my mates who's a mad Cavs fan. He's like, I don't care what's wrong with your toe. Strap it up and get out there, man.
I know.
But, a couple of Nuggets Thunder. Gee, that's a big series.
Massive series. And then we've got the Warriors and the Wolves. Oof.
Yeah, the West is just so much more compelling to watch.
Yeah, I know. My manager said that to me the other day. It's like, I don't watch any of the East games. And I'm like, fair enough.
I'll probably watch Knicks Celtics.
I wouldn't either if I wasn't a Bucks fan. Yeah, that'd be good.
Like,
desire to watch Cavs, Pacers. I just have no desire. I just don't care about that series at all. Oh, my word.
About the ice hockey, give us an update, T-Dub.
Winnipeg, we're down 3-1 with like 3 minutes to go on home ice, game 7. They are the President's Trophy winner, so the highest, basically top of the league. Then they scored with like a minute to go or something, a minute 50 on a power play. And then they scored with 3 seconds to go to tie it and then scored the eventual winner from their captain, Adam Lowry, in double overtime and sent Winnipeg into a frenzy, which sets up a few big second-round series, none other than Florida-Toronto. where famously Toronto broke their like 20-year curse a couple of years ago and they finally got out of the first round. And they famously were chanting, "We want Florida," because Florida finished eighth and they beat the Bruins. And they were chanting, "We want Florida," and then they got beaten. So, Oilers Knights, that'll be a good series. And yes, shout out to a guy called, I'll wrap this up in a second because I realize 95% of our audience probably doesn't care about ice hockey, but I do, so deal with it. A shout out to a guy called Mikko Rantanen, who got traded halfway through the season from Colorado to Carolina, was absolutely bum cheeks at Carolina, then got traded to Dallas and dropped 4 points, scored a hat trick in game 7. To knock out his former team in the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, that's huge.
It was just one of the great... They were down 2-0 in the third period, and they scored 4 goals in the last to win 4-2. And Rantanen scored 3 of them. Oh. It was just... And set up the other. Team. It was beautiful. Tell you what else is beautiful. Our main segment... Quickly, our main segment...
When you said dropped 4 points, I was like, wait... Well, that's nothing. And then I'm like, well, wait, we're talking about ice hockey here.
Yeah.
4 points is worth a lot.
That's huge.
Bang.
You wouldn't usually say that, right? Like, you'd say, like, shot. Or, I don't know, scored 10 points. 4 points.
Is it whatever. A goal? I don't know.
So you get a point
yeah,
for
what is it?
You get a point for a goal and a point for an assist. So you could have a five, say if you have 5 points in a game, you could score 4 goals and have 1 assist, or you could have 1 goal and score 4 and have 4 assists.
Yeah, right. Okay.
There's a cool trend in ice hockey when someone scores a hat trick, everyone throws their caps on the field, on the rink. It's so cool.
Oh, cool.
Do they get the caps back?
No. Nice. They just pick them up and take them. Because, like, 1,000 caps get thrown on the ice. Maybe not that
much. As in, like.
Like a cap. Like what Janus is wearing.
They just throw it.
Yeah. Like a hat trick. It's.
Oh.
That's huge.
I get it. I get it.
It's cool.
I get it.
It's a cool trend. All right.
Key predictions, lads. What are we predicting for this week?
Predictions.
Football.
What are you thinking, Janus?
I'm going to go... I smell a bit of a hot domination.
Oh,
I'm going Dogs versus the Suns. I reckon the Dogs get over. They go up to Darwin. Bailey Dale can go outside. He'll fight off Willy Rioli's friends.
Bang.
I reckon the Dogs will get up comfortably.
Bang. Cookie.
Jonas and the Suns. I
just have a sense. Yeah.
Brave.
Cooks?
I'm going to go the Cats to break their GWS curse in Geelong. I'm going to belt the Giants.
Oh, Georg.
Oh, yes.
Let's really put the moz on them. I reckon they win by 50.
Last.
Georg. Victory.
We need to put a forfeit on this.
That is.
That's actually a good point. We should actually do something. We should. We definitely do something.
True.
Good content as well.
Yes.
Who's the furthest off their prediction? We can
good point.
Just loosely decide who that is to do something.
We'll so it would have been week, me 2 weeks ago when I said the Giants would beat the Dogs by 7 goals and they proceeded to lose by 8.
And you tipped the Tigers to beat the Hawks.
Yep.
Anyway, T-Dub.
Okay, so we'll do forfeits. That's good.
Next episode, we'll do forfeits. All right, T-Dub. Give us something.
The Eagles are going to beat the Tigers.
Here we go. Oh, jeez.
MCG, Sunday 1:10, graveyard.
Oh, jeez.
Eagles are going to beat the Tigers in a thriller. I'm talking a genuine Sunday afternoon thriller.
Oh.
I
love it.
I'm talking Dwayne Russell, even though he won't be calling that game. But I dare to dream.
Kelly Underwood.
Yep. Howie, Lee Montagna. I reckon it'll be a good game.
Johnny Ralph.
Oh.
Yeah, we love it.
Yes.
We love that team up.
Unsung heroes.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Cool. Kick us off.
Kick us off.
I am going to go a bloke who you could call isn't unsung, but when you get traded from a club, which, i.e. we don't need you anymore,
yep,
you're the definition of unsung. This bloke had 38 touches against the Dockers.
Leather 19
poisoning. Kicks, 19 handballs. 14 clearances.
That's mad.
Which is insane.
That's Crips level.
I think it was the worst clearance differential in Dockers history. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was. I'm talking about Jack McRae.
Yep. Great call.
So shout out Jack McRae. He's had a great start to the year. He is playing some great football. And he's giving the Saints a bit of a lift in the midfield.
Oh, he's certainly slotted in quite well, hasn't he?
He has slotted really
that extra bullocking material. Yeah. Good call,
Cookie. J-Dub.
It'd be a Brownlow smoky.
Yeah, you go, T-Dub. He could.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Steele's not playing.
38's no joke.
Steele's not playing that well.
That well.
Josh Rochelli. Much maligned. Nice. Look, just unsung. Did his job. Kicked a couple. Had like 15, 19 touches. Just played really well. It's been... So the difference between him and Bailey Smith is Smith gets like promoted for his attitude and his like character because he's playing well. Rochelli was doing that last year when he was like pointing at the teeth, saying Port fans don't have any teeth, but he wasn't backing it up and he just got like no one talks about Josh Rochelli anymore. He's like a nobody. So good on you, Fab, playing some good footy. Against a side that was deplorable, nice. But anyway. Janus, finish us off.
Before I go with my pick.
Which Geelong player have
I
you got this week?
I just want to shout out someone. No, well. I just want to shout out someone.
You want to shout out
Janus? He was slandered last week. To be fair, he wasn't that good last week. But this week... he showed what he can do. I'm talking about... I just want to shout out O'Shea Mullen for putting Dacos to sleep in the last quarter. Limited him to 3 disposals, eliminated him from the ground, got in his head.
He's lagging out the
goal
man.
He kicked.
Yep.
The goal...
Janus is, we're losing him. It's because he's...
All right, let's kick him out.
He's talking crap.
Kick him out. Kick him out, Tim.
He's just talking rubbish.
Right. To O'Sheen. Yeah, a bit of retribution to O'Sheen in the tackle, but I just want to shout out O'Sheen. Well done, mate.
All right, thanks, Janus. You're lagging out there.
Nah, don't tell him that. So we don't have to listen to it again.
Who's your unsung hero, Janus?
I'm also going from the Adelaide game. I'm going Josh Worrell.
Oh, bang.
Ooh.
I'm going Josh Worrell. I was very, very impressed with him Saturday night. Those medium defenders, Michael Lange, Worrell, Murray, they all have such a good connection. And Worrell... particularly played really well. As that sort of rebounding. Yeah, he's got a lot of run. He's got a lot of speed. He's got a lot of good defensive attributes. There was that point, I think, in the second quarter when Motlop was out on goal and he chased him down, forced it behind. Like, he's got good defensive instincts and he can push up forward and sort of use his... rebounding ability to help set up score involvements. He's a good facilitator. He's got good defensive pressure and good running rebounder. All three of those medium defenders are, but I'll Worrell on Saturday.
Bang. That's a good appraisal to a man that is the definition of an unsung hero. 23 touches for a mid-sized key back's not a bad day.
No, now, definitely not. The ranking.
How do we order these?
I reckon McRae 3. He was unreal. Yep.
I'd say Jay McRae gets 3 votes in the game and from us.
Oh, yeah. McRae and then... Oh, it's a real... I've said between Warren...
What do you think, Cookie?
Warrell and Rochelli.
Just from the pure unsung nature, I'm going to give Josh Warrell the 2.
That's a great... That is phenomenal from you. That's real good maturity.
That's what we just love, the unsung.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Wait, so you cut out. Who do you actually go with?
Jay McRae, Josh Warrell, and...
Rochelli.
Josh Rochelli. Well, thank you all for listening.
Yes. It's been...
I believe it's been episode 10 of the 3 Quarter Time Podcast, so raise the bat.
Yes.
Well done, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All wickets are gone.
We're getting to halfway through the season. It's been a pleasure so far, and we will keep doing it. I'm not going to stop. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope your team wins, and have a big final quarter.